From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Andrew Triforce Howard. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Guys, we've talked about it before, but you know how social media has created a weird double life for people?
Yeah. It's kind of something we have to contend with. It's hard, especially for younger folks who are just seeing idealized versions of everybody they know and, you know, kind of forcing them to compare themselves. But it's honestly not exclusive to young people. I fight with it myself, as I'm sure you guys do from time to time.
The weirdest thing for me is that people will create triple and quadruple and quintuple lives with varying social media and other apps where they're interacting with people online as varying personas with different names, different looks, different lifestyles. It's fascinating.
And don't get us started on online dating, or do, because we have an episode coming out about that. It is very much a conspiracy. Appreciate that note too about the, what was it, Whitman said, we are vast, we contain multitudes. That can't be more literally true online. And even without the social media thing, some lives look perfect on paper, just like some laws look perfect on paper. I don't know about how we're all feeling, but it seems like, especially in this era of information, it's so damningly easy to hear about another person's financial, romantic, or social success and think, whoa, they have it made, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and to quote Biggie once again, I think this came up recently, more money, more problems. I mean, it's cliche because it's absolutely true. People get to a place where they just kind of want more and more and more. And then with that comes more and more concessions and more kind of issues that they have to contend with and maybe didn't even know existed.
And past a certain threshold of financial success, it does not positively affect your emotional success, we could call it. There was a great study, I remember seeing a TED Talk, but not the name of the paper, which proved at the time that over a certain US dollar per year threshold, money did not necessarily make you happier. It makes you happier up to a point.
I think it's 70K is what I had heard.
Yeah. Somewhere around 70, maybe a little north. We'd have to check back with inflation. Well,
and really quickly, I realized that I didn't quote that Biggie thing on this podcast. It was on Ridiculous History, where we did an episode on the nation of Bhutan and their happiness-based economy, more or less. So they kind of have all this stuff figured out. But again, not perfect.
Yeah, that was a good one. Everybody go to Bhutan, because we certainly cannot afford to do so ourselves.
Well, because the money thing doesn't change. Well, I guess it does affect like who you hang out with, who you end up being able to meet, right?
And then sure, access.
But it doesn't. The weird thing is that along with having multiple versions of ourselves on, you know, the internet, there are multiple versions of ourselves that have existed over time. If you think about stuff you used to be into when you were, you know, a younger person, people used to know then, people used to date then, people you were in love with, like all of that stuff is wrapped up and they're almost different, like almost fully different versions of ourselves that exist in these eras or something.
But even some of those things stick around, even if they're not front and center.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The multi-generational consequences of every version of you. And let's also keep in mind, one thing I appreciate about that point is that the version of you that interacts with other people currently may not be the version of you that you think you are, because they're really talking to their opinion about you that has largely been determined by their own thing going on.
Yeah,
it's the kind of projecting on you.
The filters and projections thing that we've been talking about over several episodes now. This keeps coming up, just that we project a lot of what we see and hear onto everything else.
I mean, classic human, right? You hear something and you say, well, how is that about me? right? There's an old joke about the narcissist that says, hey, I learned what a narcissist is, and I'm trying to figure out how that applies to me.
And let me mansplain that to you.
I think in some way it's less about narcissism and more about, remember how we talk about when you remember something, it's the last time you remembered it. So mm-hmm. it's almost like when the last time you see a person, the last time you have a conversation about a thing, it's almost like with that person, there really is truly for you a different version of what's being said or how it's being said, or even what, I don't know, the objects, the physical objects that are being discussed or the actions that are taking place.
Well, and oftentimes too, when you see like maybe unhappy marriages or relationships that deteriorate, it's because one or the other have realized that they have given up some of that past part of themselves and they are now kind of pining for that time in their life. And some people go to great lengths to get that back, whether it be having an affair with an old lover from that era or whatever. That is the, there's a big draw to wanting to turn back the clock and like be young again.
Excellent. Excellent segue, Noel. In tonight's episode, we're exploring a tragic tale that true crime enthusiasts may have heard of before, but we'll find some extra twists along the way. And that's what we're setting up. Tonight's question, what happened to Andreen McDonald?
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Homeowners, if you want to sell your house fast for all cash, stop what you are doing and listen to this, because Osborne Homes wants to buy your house right now.
I'm Alec from Osborne Homes, and we want to buy your house. Nobody buys more homes in California than Osborne. Whether it's a total fixer-upper or in perfect condition, Osborne Homes is the easiest way to sell your house fast, all cash. Best of all, when you sell your house to Osborne Homes, there are zero commissions, zero fees, plus no banks, no realtors, no repairs, and no waiting to close. We buy your house as is, all cash.
Just go to OsborneHomes.com right now to get your free, no obligation, all cash offer. We are here and ready to buy your house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go to OsborneHomes.com.
Go to OsborneHomes.com right now. Don't wait. Sell your house to Osborne Homes and put the cash in your pocket right away. Just go to OsborneHomes.com. That's OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com.
Can Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, help if I have chronic migraine? 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more?
Botox prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. Botox is not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. It's the number one prescribed branded chronic migraine treatment.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
Running low on time? Let a shopper with Shipt same-day delivery go the extra mile to help you get more out of the holidays. More time building a beautiful brunch spread? Not shopping for it, because you got groceries through same-day delivery. More time decorating the house? Not waiting in line. After all, you got lights from Lowe's delivered same day. More time prepping for the ugly sweater party? Not battling traffic. Because you, you smart cookie, you got Sephora delivered to your door. You can even send a shopper to PetSmart for treats and toys, leaving you and Duke with more time for Frisbee in the park. Yes, dogs and cats love ship same-day delivery too. So go ahead, do the things that matter most this holiday season. While you're living your life, a shopper with Shipt will update you as they shop to ensure you get exactly what you want. Because less time shopping means more time for what truly matters. Get more this holiday season. Download the Shipt app and start shopping today.
This is Joel.
And I am Matt. We are with the How to Money podcast.
And Matt and I both love to travel. I went up to California this year. I hiked my first 14,000 foot peak.
Congrats, man.
That was a momentous experience for me.
Heck yeah. And while Joel was doing that, I was in Colorado exploring Rocky Mountain National Park, staying at an adorable Airbnb just around the corner, of course. When we travel, we love finding the perfect Airbnb to stay in. And I've actually enjoyed being a host on Airbnb over the years as well. It's easy, and I find that it was a smart way to supplement my income.
Yeah, and now hosting for longer trips is even easier than ever with co-hosts. Airbnb gives you access to a network of high-quality local co-hosts who can help take care of your home and your guests when you're not there. Find a co-host at airbnb.com/host.
Here are the facts. All right. For anybody who's unaware, who was Andrine McDonald?
Andrine McDonald was born on September 23rd of 1989 in Port Antonio, Jamaica. Andrine Nicole McDonald. She was the second of three daughters.
And Jamaica, Port Antonio, technically Norwich District, Portland. Their life there was tough growing up. The father later left for England after serving in the armed forces, lives in England now. Something about the life that they lived in childhood forged great determination amid the siblings. They believed what we would call the American dream. Hard work and discipline can make all the difference between failure and success. And from the jump, Andrine McDonald was highly driven. And there in Norwich District, Portland, again, Jamaica, not Oregon. We're going to be saying Jamaica pretty often here. You've heard us say it because this is a big part of the story. So our protagonist graduates from high school in Jamaica, in this area, in Norwich District, Portland, and is an academic powerhouse. She goes on to earn her associate degree in marketing by the time she's 18. And when she's there, right, she has a boyfriend before, as many teenagers do. That's important to the story. She also meets and falls in love with a guy named Andre McDonald. He's about 10 years older than her. He's a fellow Jamaican kid. He's risen through the ranks of the U.S. Air Force. He's becoming a major. His special areas of focus are what JSOC would loosely call cyber. Because those guys are old.
Yeah, cybersecurity.
not what we used to call cybering, you know, on AIM.
Cyber.
Yeah.
Yeah. But internet activities, monitoring and securing them.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Early days for that kind of stuff, right? I mean, in terms of like that being a specialty.
It's definitely forward facing,
I would say,
for the Air Force at that point. And, you know, they have all kinds of toys to play with. She and her husband, spoiler, they hit it off. They got married. That happened. They moved to Florida. And then, you know, for anybody who has grown up in a military family or has had a partner who's in the military, or if you yourself have served, you know that for a great deal of your career, you kind of have to go where they tell you to go.
Yeah,
for sure. So they didn't get to stay in Florida forever. They ended up moving to Texas.
Right. They moved to the very poshly named Canyon Gulf and Wilderness Oak area of North Bayard, Texas, or county rather, in San Antonio, Texas. Guys, what is going on in the Canyon Gulf and Wilderness Oak area?
Everything.
I see.
A lot of internal O rhymes, yeah, O sounds, so, yeah. Assonance. Yeah.
By the way, if you see it on paper, speaking of things on paper, yes. Bayar Bear is spelled like Bexar. So
just B E X A R. And thanks to our fellow conspiracy realist from Texas who wrote into us multiple times many years ago, to kindfully correct us on that one, to clarify. We get it. Sometimes there's an X and you just don't mention it. Ooh, that's going to have a weird level to it later tonight.
Isn't it a little strange? I don't know. It's just odd to me that they moved from Port Antonio, Jamaica, to San Antonio, Texas.
Mm. And that they're named Andreen and Andre.
Yeah.
That struck me a little odd as well, guys. I mean, there's nothing to it, but it's still those kind of synchronicities. Mm-hmm. You can't help but notice them.
It's such a power couple thing, too. You know, because these folks do become a power couple in San Antonio. Andreen goes on to earn a business administration degree in finance from University of Texas, San Antonio. And you can find interviews with her from local press, from local community initiatives. One we found that I think really speaks to her personality is an interview in her character profile in San Antonio Woman, where we learn some of her inspiration, right? Some of her foundational guiding principles. And honestly, she sounds like a badass.
Seems like a tough cookie. She says, for me to get a job, one has to be available. Someone has to create a job. But she said, basically, she decided to create a job for herself at the young age of 22. Talk about feeling like the stuff on paper is making you feel like you're behind the eight ball.
Right. Right. Yeah. She knew that a college degree does not necessarily guarantee a career. Shout out to all our fellow English majors. So like you said, Noel, 22 years old, a lot of people in 22 are farting around, flitting back and forth between, you know, trying to find their true north. Not so with McDonald. She founds a place called Starlight Homes, a community, a assisted living facilitator. Right, close with real estate, close with recommending care, and her reasoning was super sharp. Why would you pursue a business like this? Why would you put so much money in when you're 22 years old? Her reasoning was, if I fail, I'm young. I can do something else, which I wish someone had told us earlier.
Yeah. And in that same article, you can read about how she would often travel back to Jamaica where she grew up to do things like speak at graduations, to, you know, to hang out with family and friends for specific business stuff. So she was constantly, I just think it's important to mention here, she was constantly going back and forth from Jamaica to San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, she regularly returned to Jamaica for a lot of philanthropic endeavors. Mm-hmm. She was also, in many ways, a one-woman army for her business, which she technically owned a partnership with her husband. But let's remember, being a U.S. Air Force major, it's a pretty time-consuming job. So she was running operations, human resources. She was running marketing. She was pretty much responsible for steering the ship. And this made her and her hubby a millionaires. Maybe not, you know, billionaires, but doing very well for San Antonio.
And it's interesting, too, to think that this, you know, fortune was made with what would seem like a pretty benevolent and charitable business model. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, if you look up Starlight Homes, it's basically ready-made homes kind of geared towards the elderly, maybe with some subsidies of some kind. I don't know exactly the deal, but it would seem like it is meant to be a positive resource, you know,
yeah,
for folks that are entering the ends of their lives.
It was really interesting. If you look at the two locations that they had on the map, they were just kind of, it looked like houses where they would have people living in the houses and the care would be given to them. And it literally started with like one person. And then there were over 20 people that she was taking care of with, you know, the company was taking care of between these two homes.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of this was informed by her mother's career as a CNA, certified nursing assistant, and perhaps more powerfully informed by watching how her in-laws took care of Andre's McDonald's grandmother. She had to have her left leg amputated due to an accident. And so Andreen is looking at this and thinking, to your point, Noel, how can I help people, right? What is a good business? And of course, yes, we know that assisted living and nursing homes are riddled with corruption and abuse often here in the United States. It does not appear to be the case with Starlight Homes. Everything wasn't perfect for the couple, even though they are, you know, a power couple, and I'm sure the envy of many other San Antonians. They had a daughter, a special needs daughter named Elena, who's on the autism spectrum and primarily nonverbal. So if this kid sees something, this kid can't really communicate what they have seen, which will be important later. What we're saying is this: by her late 20s, Andreen McDonald had achieved the kind of success most Americans dream about, ticking off every box. You know, you got your dream marriage with your Adonis or your dream girl. You've got an awesome job. You are your own boss. And you're also an amazing power lifter, which I thought was pretty interesting. She was driven and goal-oriented, and you could set your own watch to her schedule. She would always be at Iron Tribe Fitness at 5:30 a.m. do some epic power lift. They called her the beast.
Still feel horrible about myself. No, I've been trying to gym a little bit more, but I do understand that, like, that drive to, you know, have that control and that agency over your body. It seems very, like, in keeping and in step with her overall drive.
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah. And we know we're talking about this established routine, 5:30-ish a.m. at the gym, to the point where if she was going to miss a day, she would call them and let them know. Like, if you're a regular at the Waffle House, the staff is going to miss you. I've got Waffle House on my mind. Sorry, guys. Skip lunch.
They're very kind at Waffle House. They definitely remember you and say hello. So this established this routine that she had, and a sort of predictability to her movements. So Audrey McDonald was last seen alive about 7 p.m. on February 28th, when she, along with her husband and then 7-year-old daughter, were seen heading home.
So this is 2019, and the next day, March 1st, 2019, she is reported missing. No passport activity, no cell phone, nothing unusual on the credit cards. So what happened?
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Homeowners, if you want to sell your house fast for all cash, stop what you are doing and listen to this, because Osborne Homes wants to buy your house right now.
I'm Alec from Osborne Homes, and we want to buy your house. Nobody buys more homes in California than Osborne. Whether it's a total fixer-upper or in perfect condition, Osborne Homes is the easiest way to sell your house fast, all cash. Best of all, when you sell your house to Osborne Homes, there are zero commissions, zero fees, plus no banks, no realtors, no repairs, and no waiting to close. We buy your house as is, all cash.
Just go to OsborneHomes.com right now to get your free, no obligation, all cash offer. We are here and ready to buy your house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go to OsborneHomes.com.
Go to OsborneHomes.com right now. Don't wait. Sell your house to Osborne Homes and put the cash in your pocket right away. Just go to OsborneHomes.com. That's OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com.
What is chronic migraine?
It's 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more. Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. It's not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Ask your doctor about Botox.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
Running low on time? Let a shopper with Shipt same-day delivery go the extra mile to help you get more out of the holidays. More time building a beautiful brunch spread? Not shopping for it, because you got groceries through same-day delivery. More time decorating the house? Not waiting in line. After all, you got lights from Lowe's delivered same day. More time prepping for the ugly sweater party, not battling traffic. Because you smart cookie, you got Sephora delivered to your door. You can even send a shopper to PetSmart for treats and toys, leaving you and Duke with more time for Frisbee in the park. Yes, dogs and cats love Shipt same day delivery too. So go ahead, do the things that matter most this holiday season. While you're living your life, a shopper with Shipt will update you as they shop to ensure you get exactly what you want. Because less time shopping means more time for what truly matters. Get more this holiday season. Download the Shipt app and start shopping today.
This is Joel.
And I am Matt. We are with the How to Money podcast.
And Matt and I both love to travel. I went up to California this year. I hiked my first 14,000 foot peak.
Congrats, man.
That was a momentous experience for me.
Heck yeah. And while Joel was doing that, I was in Colorado exploring Rocky Mountain National Park, staying at an adorable Airbnb just around the corner, of course. When we travel, we love finding the perfect Airbnb to stay in. And I've actually enjoyed being a host on Airbnb over the years as well. It's easy, and I find that it was a smart way to supplement my income.
Yeah, and now hosting for longer trips is even easier than ever with co-hosts. Airbnb gives you access to a network of high-quality local co-hosts who can help take care of your home and your guests when you're not there. Find a co-host at airbnb.com/host.
Here's where it gets crazy. Unfortunately, as any true crime aficionado in the audience tonight knows, the disappearance of Andreen McDonald has been solved. It's a tale of absolute brutality and heartbreak, and you can hear massively exploitative versions of it in all sorts of programs, 48 hours freely available online. You can watch it. And I wanted to ask you guys about this. I think we've spoken about it in previous evenings, but do you guys notice how when a true crime enterprise is being exploitative, they tend to refer to women simply by their first names?
Yeah, I saw an article the other day about how that's a thing in general with
in politics.
In politics. And I felt kind of awful that it had never occurred to me in that exact way. But to answer your question, yes, I think that is maybe a bigger problem even than just exploitative reporting in true crime, but for sure that's a thing.
It is a little weird. I think it is hard sometimes to do storytelling when you've got a husband and wife not to use their first names and not include their last name every time you say their names. So I don't know. I think it might be a storytelling thing, at least in this, like with 48 hours in particular.
Well, in this case, I would agree just from a writing perspective, you've got two people with the same last name. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult, such like if you were talking about Hillary and William Clinton, you would at some point have to just go by first name. But what I'm talking about in the exploitative version really is the emotional manipulation or even the diminishing, to the larger point you're raising, Noel, the diminishing of women's work. By saying Hillary instead of, you know, Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, things like that. Not a defense of the Clintons whatsoever. But anyway, there's a larger context to this. We'll explore it in a moment. But for now, we have to look at events behind the curtain to see what led to her disappearance and later public realization. One, We know now Andrine McDonald was murdered. Two, the United States has convicted her husband, Andre McDonald, of the murder, and the charge was manslaughter. He had some other charges along the way to that.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to keep bringing this up, but I think it's just apt the way you brought it up at the beginning, Ben. On paper, you know, it would seem cut and dry. Like, we know what happened. But there's just so much more to it than what's on paper, much like the true lives of people hiding behind their glossy, you know, Instagram accounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can follow our Instagrams. They're the opposite of glossy. You know,
they're matte finish.
Yes, they're a matte finish. If we go back to the day of the reported disappearance, you can see a lot of contemporaneous reporting from regional news affiliates and local media, because again, this is a prominent figure in society. And one of the things that stands out in a lot of this reporting is the sheer concern of the community, the amount of people in the community who were deeply disturbed. Again, we could set our watch by this lady's routine. There's a great interview series with Matthew Seedorf, writing for News 4 San Antonio. The coaches thought it was crazy that McDonald did not show up to exercise at Iron Tribe Fitness that early Friday morning, because she's there all the time. And a lot of the interviews are first, yes, about how they're very concerned and they want to help find her. And then you notice that all the coaches are so impressed with her powerlifting. Again, the beast. The beast is never happy with her first set. You know what I mean? She's got to lift more. They said, you know, the people said we saw her Thursday evening going home to see her daughter. If she wasn't going to be there Friday, she would call us in advance. She has not. We are worried. And let's be honest, I think a lot of us have people in our lives. Thank you. We'll keep the cat in. A lot of us have people in our lives who are, and cats and animals and entities that are more consistent or predictable than others. You know, you might have a friend, like maybe this is a dude thing, but I have friends I don't talk to for years at a time. You know what I mean? I check in. They'll tell me if something's important. One buddy of mine was like, I hadn't heard from him 2 years. And then he just hit me up with a text and sent a picture. And he said, beat me here, Triforce. He said, fucked around and got married. LMAO. And it was true.
Hope you're good. Yeah, but then you have those other friends that, like, you know, maybe we'll call every single Friday at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. And to the point where maybe, you know, everyone's different, but that friend not calling,
yes,
will be a big old red flag, even if you're not like the worrying type.
Mm-hmm. And so here we arrive at one of the myths that we've addressed in the past about reporting a missing person. You do not have to wait 24 hours. It does not depend upon the person's age, their socioeconomic status. It does not matter where you saw them last. As a matter of fact, that 24-hour window is probably the best time to start searching for someone. And so the local law enforcement, the sheriff and the deputies of Bexar County are called in. They go to the couple's home. They conduct a welfare check. And this is where they discover increasingly disturbing things.
Yeah, and this is on the day she disappeared, on March 1st, 2019. So the friends and everybody that were concerned actually went and got Andrine's mom, Maureen Smith, and brought her to the house. And that's when they called the police. That's when the sheriff's office shows up and they start doing a walk through the house with Andre not being present currently.
Right. He is not on the scene. All in all, they end up executing two search warrants. Without getting too far in the details, both of these warrants were warranted. During their investigations in Andrine's car, and you know how marriage is, people are sharing cars and stuff, they uncover a shovel, an axe, work gloves, and gasoline, two containers of gasoline. Those are curious things. It might remind some of us, if you've ever spent a lot of time in a grocery store or any place with a what's that thing called? The little treadmill for checkout? where the stuff rolls down?
The conveyor belt? I don't know.
Yes, the conveyor belt. Sure. Yeah. So it's a fun game to play if you're ever waiting in line, kind of imagining the stuff people buy as clues to their lives, right? What's an interesting, eclectic mix of stuff?
Yeah, but if the guy in front of you buys a bunch of work gloves, a heavy-duty rope, and a bag of lime, and a shovel, you might wrinkle your nose at that a little bit, right?
But that's exactly what he did. He bought all of those things in one go, and he
had a messy.
There's a receipt that you can find and a handwritten note about like things I need to get from either Lowe's or Home Depot. And it's
murder stuff. including
a hand axe and a big old axe. And you're just like, already
had the hammer.
Yeah. And you need big bags also with all of this stuff.
Hefty bags.
Now, tell me about your burn barrels.
The burn barrel is really important because what they found on that first day on March 1st. So this is what we're talking about here, and finding this stuff is just, it's like a couple of days later when they find this stuff. I think it's March 2nd when they find this. But on that first day when the sheriff's office shows up, they and the family and the sheriff's office find blood and hair on like a light switch in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And in the backyard, they find a small, what appears to be impromptu little, not burn pit, but like a burn pile. Where something was piled up and then burned.
Like if you were cleaning your yard and you burned burned leaves. But the stuff in there is not leaves.
No, yeah, exactly. There was clothes. There was a zipper that the mother identified as being a zipper from one of Andrine's blouses.
This does not look good.
No, it doesn't. There were also cleaning supplies. Recently purchased. The point about buying those items all at once is that if they are purchased separately over time, these are all innocuous. Sometimes you need gloves. Sometimes you need an axe or some gas. But buying them all at once is, we'll see what happens to the receipt. Look, altogether, there's a damning context. And so authorities begin to believe that this is not someone skipping town. Which does sometimes happen, but usually when someone skips town, you're going to find them sooner or later.
Yeah, well, they usually would take their purse and ID and, you know, important things. If she did leave, the only thing she took was her cell phone, and she didn't let her mother, her husband, or her daughter, or any of her friends or family know where she was going. Which, you know, if you think about somebody like Andrine, at least the way she's portrayed, like in that magazine we mentioned where she was written up, all the people around her knew her.
San Antonio woman.
Yeah, it just seems...
Well, she's buttoned up. If she was, you know, like if she was going to go like that, she would have taken some key items if she was leaving her husband. You know, there are definite signs for that. She would, I mean, unless that is to say, though, unless there was some significant abuse and she truly just had to drop everything and leave in the night. There are scenarios where that absolutely happens
because of
horrible domestic situations.
Agreed. And that's a great point. We also know the previous patterns of behavior, which are not necessarily predictive, to be fair, but we know that when she was returning to Jamaica, which was by far her main destination, home away from home, she let people know both in Texas and in Jamaica where she was going to be and when, because that was part of what she was doing. So if somebody had to skip town, how do we explain the blood? How do we explain the supplies that were around, the items, the fire, the unburnt zipper?
The stuff that he bought the day after, right?
Right.
By the day after your wife goes missing, and when you when you are talking to the sheriff's office, you're weird and cagey about it and just like, yeah, I don't know, she's not here. And then made up a story about her being in the hospital. I don't know.
Even before that, the authorities started to believe something was very up, and they were like, we got to look at this Andre McDonald guy. And Bexar County Sheriff's Office deputies had already detained him that Saturday for what they call mental evaluation by the Air Force.
Because he went to a gun store. There, he was under investigation. Yep. Well, yeah, they pick him up for an evaluation because earlier in the day, on March 2nd, that's when he's on surveillance camera at Lowe's buying all of that stuff we talked about, right? Then at 2 p.m., he's under surveillance. An undercover officer is watching his house, basically. And they watch him drive to a local gun store. and purchase a 9mm and ammunition.
Attempt to purchase.
Well, no, he does. He purchases it, but then he leaves the store without even taking the gun.
And leaves his ID behind.
Yeah. He's just
who does that? That's bizarre.
Andre McDonald.
Well, something is going on with this guy where clearly something's wrong, right? And he's also a pretty high level military officer. So,
which, by the way, I was just going to ask you guys, does that give you way more leeway when it comes to purchasing a firearm as a citizen? Like, it doesn't supersede the waiting periods or anything like that, right? You don't have like any special treatment because you're a ranking military person.
Shouldn't. You can get assigned weaponry, but that's different from you going and buying something.
I didn't think so. I was just wondering. But it would seem that he didn't have to. I don't know what the laws are there, but there was no waiting period for a handgun.
He got spooked.
It would seem.
And it's anomalous behavior. Up to this point, Bexar County sheriffs have not named McDonald as a suspect, but they are noting that he is extremely uncooperative, seems to be not super worried about where his wife is. And when different people ask him about this, he gives them different stories, which is also going to come into play later. No spoilers. Eventually, under question, I don't know how much we want to get into the step-by-step with this, but eventually he admits, okay, my wife and I had an argument. We visited our tax dude, basically, the person who prepares our taxes. We were arguing over our business, which we both own. I left. I left during the argument. I run away during arguments, that kind of guy. And I went and got some gas and just cool off, get some space, clear my head. I have no idea where my wife could be. He eventually told the police after, saying, what was it? She was in the hospital, floated the idea that she might be out of town.
Well, yeah. That's weird. That hospital thing weirds me out too, you guys. And that's part of this whole thing, because it was on that first day, right, when she was missing and he was at work. He had taken his daughter to school or, taken her to wherever she was going early in the morning, then went to work. When he got home, the sheriff's office was already there, basically with the rest of his family looking for his wife. And he was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know where she is. He thought, oh, well, she gets migraines. Maybe she's in the hospital. And he goes to the hospital, asks the person at the front, hey, is McDonald in here? Like, just asking for a McDonald. The person at the front says, yeah, there is a McDonald in here. And he goes, oh, okay. And then he leaves. But he doesn't check to see if that McDonald is his wife. And he goes back and he tells his family, his wife's mother, yeah, she's in the hospital. What?
That's another example of anomalous behavior, look, right?
So the mom calls a hospital and the hospital's like, no, that is not. No, your daughter is not here. That is a whole different person with the last name McDonald. Mm-hmm. And then immediately after that, he asks for an attorney. He doesn't want to talk about it anymore.
Woof.
And we know that this kind of behavior increasingly added up to a picture that does not look good for either member of this couple, particularly Andre McDonald. Now they are thinking less in terms of a disappearance and more in terms of a fatality. So when Andre McDonald is arrested, he is initially arrested not on suspicion of this murder, not officially. He's initially arrested for evidence tampering, because going back to the receipt we mentioned, he had allegedly torn up the receipt, the physical receipt he had for these items, all of which had been recently purchased. And it's still not quite a red flag yet, but it is tampering with evidence, and it's definitely on the gradient toward a red flag.
With all the burning that was going on, why the hell didn't he burn it? He just tore it up and then they pieced it back together? That's so sloppy and bizarre.
Well, it is really weird, because it's on March 2nd when they find that stuff in his trunk, right? It's on March 2nd when the search warrant occurs, and that's when he buys the gun and he gets picked up, right? It gets evaluated. Then on March 3rd, they arrest him because he's basically going to walk free again, and they can't let him do that. So they at least get him on that evidence tampering, because they already thought somebody whose wife is missing and is buying all these things the next day, that's disposing of a body, and that's all that could be. That's what at least the sheriff's department was thinking.
And he initially admitted to buying these cleaning supplies. He's being led away by deputies. He reportedly kept his statement very short. He said, "I love my daughter. I love my family. That's it." He denied any involvement with his wife's disappearance. He got released on bond. Meanwhile, all the while, the search for Andreen McDonald continued.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's Bartesian.com/cocktail.
Homeowners, if you want to sell your house fast for all cash, stop what you're doing and listen to this, because Osborne Homes wants to buy your house right now.
I'm Alec from Osborne Homes, and we want to buy your house. Nobody buys more homes in California than Osborne. Whether it's a total fixer-upper or in perfect condition, Osborne Homes is the easiest way to sell your house fast, all cash. Best of all, when you sell your house to Osborne Homes, there are zero commissions, zero fees, plus no banks, no realtors, no repairs, and no waiting to close. We buy your house as is, all cash.
Just go to OsborneHomes.com right now to get your free, no obligation, all cash offer. We are here and ready to buy your house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go to OsborneHomes.com.
Go to OsborneHomes.com right now. Don't wait. Sell your house to Osborne Homes and put the cash in your pocket right away. Just go to OsborneHomes.com. That's OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com.
Can Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, help if I have chronic migraine? 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more?
Botox prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. Botox is not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. It's the number one prescribed branded chronic migraine treatment.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
Running low on time? Let a shopper with Shipt same-day delivery go the extra mile to help you get more out of the holidays. More time building a beautiful brunch spread? Not shopping for it, because you got groceries through same-day delivery. More time decorating the house? Not waiting in line. After all, you got lights from Lowe's delivered same day. More time prepping for the ugly sweater party? Not battling traffic. Because you, you smart cookie, you got Sephora delivered to your door. You can even send a shopper to PetSmart for treats and toys, leaving you and Duke with more time for Frisbee in the park. Yes, dogs and cats love Shipt same-day delivery too. So go ahead, do the things that matter most this holiday season. While you're living your life, a shopper with Shipt will update you as they shop to ensure you get exactly what you want. Because less time shopping means more time for what truly matters. Get more this holiday season. Download the Shipt app and start shopping today.
This is Joel.
And I am Matt. We are with the How to Money podcast.
And Matt and I both love to travel. I went up to California this year. I hiked my first 14,000 foot peak.
Congrats, man.
That was a momentous experience for me.
Heck yeah. And while Joel was doing that, I was in Colorado exploring Rocky Mountain National Park, staying at an adorable Airbnb just around the corner, of course. When we travel, we love finding the perfect Airbnb to stay in. And I've actually enjoyed being a host on Airbnb over the years as well. It's easy, and I find that it was a smart way to supplement my income.
Yeah, and now hosting for longer trips is even easier than ever with co-hosts. Airbnb gives you access to a network of high-quality local co-hosts who can help take care of your home and your guests when you're not there. Find a co-host at airbnb.com/host.
And we're back, guys. This stuff is so damning, like every piece of evidence that has come up. It borderline makes you think, was someone setting this guy up? Like, how could somebody be this stupid and committing this kind of crime? And I'm not suggesting that, but it's just, good Lord.
It's very like, hot dog store. Yeah, I think really? You should leave.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, to my mind, analyzing it, you know, from this high up and this far away in time, it does seem like there was a lot of panic happening here and that it wasn't fully planned out. It was, oh, crap, what do I do now? Oh, crap, like I guess I got to buy these things. Oh, crap, I guess I need a gun because if it goes bad or whatever.
Not premeditated. The meaning conspiracy it happened, is the cover up.
It might have happened in a big old blow up, knockdown, drag out fight.
And right. that's not according to what he eventually says in any of the trial or anything. That's just what I'm. Well, actually, it does kind of line up with what he says.
It does. But, yeah, it's pretty apparent. I think that this was not a plan decades in the making. You know what I mean? This was not a premeditated execution or operation. But we do know if we go back to this 2019 era, we do know that the sheriff of Bexar County grows increasingly certain that Andre McDonald has, for some reason, murdered his wife. He had killed her during an argument, and then, you know, however that argument transpired, he panicked and attempted to dispose of her body, and then attempted to erase the evidence of his crimes. And every attempt he made only, again, added to suspicion, right? And made him a more prominent suspect in the case. After 6 months of investigation, the community members are still searching for this much beloved person. And one of the people searching stumbles across scattered remains, a cadaver on a private ranch 6 miles away from the McDonald family home. It's messed up. The authorities have to resort to dental records to confirm identity, and those records confirm this is indeed the body of Andreen McDonald. At this point, Bexar County closes in. Andre McDonald is charged with first-degree murder. It's all over the news. We know that sometimes getting to trial in a court of law takes longer than getting to trial in public opinion. So it might surprise some of us to learn that Andre McDonald doesn't go to trial until 2023.
Yeah, that is kind of odd that there would be that much of a backlog that you can't even get, you know, to a trial unless they were doing some kind of investigation still and they had to wait for that to conclude before they could take him to trial.
Just seems so open and shut, you know? I mean, but again, we're not, you know, the ones prosecuting cases like this. So perhaps there's something to what you're saying, Matt.
Well, if you've got a body that's that decomposed and you don't have proof, like how do you convince a jury that he is definitely the guy that killed his wife, right?
Because technically all the physical evidence we've talked about would be deemed circumstantial.
All of that stuff that he bought, right?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't prove anything in it, and any defense attorney could probably throw that stuff away. So what you needed is, I'm assuming a DA would say, we need to find something that's DNA. Really going to make this stick.
DNA or confession. I mean, a defense might not be able to sway the jury against the conviction there. There's a lot more context to it, I think. But the possibility is there. And yeah, DA would be much more happy with evidence that was conclusive rather than circumstantial. I mean, the prosecution establishes McDonald has a history of domestic violence, which we'll get to in a moment. They also establish all the circumstantial evidence, the timeline we're talking about, and the scrutiny shows that despite the public image of this power couple, this amazing life, things had not been going well at the McDonald homestead for a little while now.
So on the sixth day of the murder trial, nearly 4 years after Andrea's death, Andre McDonald detailed his version of events. This included the sharing of text messages that were retrieved from his phone, showing that she had likely been having an affair.
Or he believed she was. Correct. Allegations of infidelity.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. She was still... The big point of contention between the couple in this at this juncture was that we mentioned Andre McDonald, you know, grew up in Jamaica and had previous boyfriends. Andre McDonald was intensely concerned about Andreen being in contact with one of her ex-boyfriends, a businessman named Aubyn, A-U-B-Y-N, Hall, who is also from Port Antonio, Jamaica. Oh, and what his part about leaving to go get gas the night of the argument, that checks out. He's on camera doing that.
And that's when the text chain was happening. That's when Andreen says, quote, "If you bring up Aubyn again, I will divorce you myself." And then he responds, "I don't care if you get a divorce. You brought Aubyn into our life."
Right. And some of the high-octane gas on the fire here is that Andreen had gotten tattoos recently. One was the initial A stylistically tattooed on her hand and that cool little part between the thumb and the pointer finger, and then a date tattooed on her wrist. Andre is good at the internet, so he does the digging, you know, the obsessive partner digging, and he finds that the guy he considers his romantic rival, Aubyn, has the same tattoo
here, dun, dun, dun. Right here on like on his throat, the big big A, and it's the exact same.
It's
A.
The same style.
It's like a twist flourish. In a noir. You know, I mean, it's the moment that you realize what's happening. It all comes into full focus, and this guy was clearly a very jealous man. He'd already made ultimatums about this stuff, and it was
in a court of law, that would still be circumstantial. You can't get mad at people for tattoos. But if you're a partner and you're already worried about something, just imagine if the love of your life, you get in a tiff with them and then you see, oh, they've got matching a new tattoo. Tatties. Oh, they've got, oh, matching tatty makes it sound even dirtier.
Oh, yeah, because it's not just one tattoo, it's multiple tattoos. And if you can just put yourself in that position, not to like take sides in any of this stuff, but just imagine being the partner in that
position.
You'd
be grumpy.
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Not grumpy. You would be betrayed and feel horrible. That you would feel it would be like a different. It would be like a type of death.
It's Judas level.
It's true.
But so her second tattoo that she gets, and her husband doesn't know this at the time. She gets it on her wrist, 14-3-76, and Andre was unsure what it was. Turns out, it's the other dude's birthday. So the 14th of March, 1976.
Ooh. Yeah. She's pretty messy too, to be honest.
And I like that we're unanimously united on this point because this is not victim blaming. This is understanding the perspective of another person. Knowing that is still circumstantial in the court of law, I think it's fair to say that anybody in a committed relationship already with problems would be over a very bad moon about this kind of activity.
For sure.
Exactly. It's just really important to note that finding out about this extramarital affair or whatever was going on there, which was at least according to several of Andrian's friends, confirmed.
A real thing.
Yeah. But it didn't happen just before she was killed, right?
Just before the disappearance. Yeah. It was several years. Yeah. It was quite a while before, but this did upset the balance of the marriage. Andre was convinced his wife was cuckolding him with her earlier boyfriend, and she threatened divorce, you know, unless she promised to do the following: cut off contact with this guy, even when and if she travels back to Port Antonio, cover up all those tattoos that she gets, and promises never ever to travel to Jamaica without him, without Andre McDonald. These concerns seem to smooth the waters a bit temporarily. It's what we would call a Band-Aid. But as time goes on, they're still arguing about other things. They're arguing about businesses, because now this guy is clocking in, right? Now he is always going to assume their secrets. And he claims that she opens a second business behind his back. She keeps it a secret from him for more than a year. And this brings more threats of divorce. And also, from his perspective, Andre McDonald is saying, look, we partnered on this first business. She's taking funds from what we do to start her own second business. So essentially, my wife is robbing me. The phrase he used,
cuckolding him in business as well, it would seem.
Yeah. Oof.
That's what he said.
It's not great. It wouldn't be great if that were actually the fact, but I don't know how much of that is, you know, was established, I guess, through discovery during the trial, that was like, yes, this is definitely happening. Here is the business. She was using these funds to do whatever. We don't have all those facts. We have what was reported from most of the transcripts from the trial, right? About a lot of that stuff, but it's not in full.
And we don't have Andreen McDonald's testimony.
Exactly, right? So we don't know fully what was happening. This is this guy's opinion. There is stuff from their tax preparer that they were using together.
Right, right.
That ended up coming up with a lot of that stuff. Mm. But theoretically, what could that mean, you guys, if she's got a secondary business?
She's working her way towards escape.
Like divorce or breaking the...
Yeah.
The thing into, like, having, theoretically?
Having her own thing away
that's
from
that's where... Him. Yeah, that's where they talk about the phrase that she would have used, or maybe this is, you know, people quote each other or misquote and misconstrue each other all the time in arguments. So we can read a few tea leaves in some of Andre McDonald's court statements at the trial. He says, quote, she became extremely angry at the thought of us splitting the business, by which I think they mean taking that first business and splitting it in twain, right?
Oh, if there are trust issues. The Starlight Homes.
Yeah. He says she charges into the room to confront me. She comes right up in my face. At that moment, she spits, he says, in my face. So at that point, I grabbed her, and I think we had a clash of heads, and I think it opened up a cut somewhere on her face. And the rest of his testimony is frankly quite disturbing, because he is describing in his mind accidentally killing someone, but definitely meaning to beat the snot out of them. He talks about how she falls over and he kicks her twice. And on the second kick, he hears a wheezing coming out of her. He hears the footsteps of what turns out to be their daughter.
That's the most heartbreaking detail.
Yeah, who may have witnessed the scene. He says he argued in court that he only struck her, not because he's a domestic abuser, but he only struck her because he was fearful that she would harm him. He was frightened of her physical prowess as a power lifter.
She is significantly taller than him and looks, well, you don't see a lot of him on Instagram, you know, being super strong, but her Instagram is still up and you can still find it. And she was strong as heck.
Swole.
I can imagine him being intimidated at least, but worried that she's going to kill him or I don't know.
It doesn't matter in the context of things, but like we weren't in the room. We can't even really speculate on the ferocity, you know, of an exchange like this.
Right. We only, given that the only witness is someone largely nonverbal, right? The only non-involved witness there physically.
The child, just to remind you, right, she was right on the spectrum, like to a Elena, extreme degree. Yes.
Yeah. And we're hearing someone choosing to confess to a murder and then choosing the way in which they confess it. Now, was Andreen in great shape? Absolutely. Power lifter. Does height matter that much in a fight? only if you're fighting with boxing rules or something that constrains your activity. But that is what he said. He said that he was frightened and he meant to hit her to protect himself, but he didn't mean to end her life.
It would seem too that I wouldn't be surprised if he was coached to set the scene in this fashion.
Oh, that's a great point, Noel, because he did have a defense team and he lawyered up very quickly when the sheriffs initially contacted him. So he tells the court he puts their daughter back to bed, and after, you know, he calms the kid down and puts her to bed, he returns.
Only to find, right, that is the worst has happened.
Now, instead of calling 911,
he dumps her body in a field.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Takes her clothing and burns it. And also, I would assume, you guys told me, I would assume this is at the point where he also captures the phone, right? At least
I would imagine so.
Yeah. So with all this, I mean, it's very hard for us to hear an argument that this is circumstantial, because it's legal to buy all those items at one point or another. It's also legal to buy a gun and leave it in the store. Or to go to a store, not buy a gun.
Yeah, I get caught up on this sometimes, guys. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. Like, you know, yes, those things create this, like, seemingly sure sense of what happened. And yet they are considered circumstantial. I'm just wondering what that being considered circumstantial and inadmissible or whatever for direct, you know, conviction, what protections does that offer us from that being misused? Because this just seems like an example where it should be a slam dunk because of these things, but no, it's circumstantial. I'm just wondering what the idea of circumstantial evidence, like, where does it actually protect the innocent?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's maybe y'all at home think about it. It's just something that I get caught up on sometimes.
Yeah. Let us know what you think, fellow conspiracy realist. I believe that's a great question. I mean, you could see, we know in the past circumstantial evidence has led to wrongful convictions, right?
That's right.
A kid who maybe buys a cell phone from someone who's fencing cell phones, so that cell phone was from a murder victim.
Sure, but why didn't this circumstantial evidence on its own, that it seemed like it required the confession?
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it goes back to the burden of proof. Right. What is beyond a reasonable doubt? What is a reasonable doubt? The jury eventually, based on all this discourse, they find McDonald guilty, not of first degree murder to the earlier point, but of manslaughter. And like you're saying, Noel, it's primarily due to his testimony in court.
Yeah. And we should mention there, too, according to some of the jurors after the fact, they were split down the middle, 6-6 for manslaughter or murder. And nobody thought he was innocent. Nobody thought it was self-defense. They were just like, no, this dude killed his wife. But do we charge him with murder or manslaughter because of the situation surrounding, you know, whatever was happening and the moment of panic and all that other stuff? Like, how much do we weigh that? And eventually, and at least according to two jurors that are interviewed for that 48 hours episode, they went with manslaughter because they could not get the other six people to agree with murder.
Yeah. There's also another tangential twist here. A few days, I think like 2 days, 48 hours before the trial, he texts family members and talks about this, like kind of like getting his story straight to them via text in what some called a move to make sure he could steer the conversation toward manslaughter rather than murder. Either way, he is sentenced. He gets 20 years in prison, where he remains at the time of this recording. The public, as well as Andreen McDonald's family, not happy with the verdict. Furious, in fact. They felt justice was not served. 20 years in prison is a finite amount of time, and we'll never know what, you know, his victim would have done had she been allowed to live.
Yeah, and after all that, a custody battle kind of rages, because, of course, there was the most heartbreaking part of the story to me, anyway, the child there who might have witnessed not only ongoing, potentially, domestic abuse and, you know, disturbances between the parents, who would seem perpetrated by Mr. McDonald, but also potentially was a witness to her mother's murder.
Yeah. Yeah. And with this custody battle, eventually, you know, Andre McDonald's mother wins the case.
And civil at this point, right?
Yeah. Well, they're trying to figure out, you know, where's the safest home for the kid. So then, in yes, in 2023, Andre McDonald's family wins a pretty significant civil wrongful death case for $210 million in damages against Andre McDonald.
Does he have that kind of money?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think
not
so.
That we know of. Yeah, and in August of this year, as we record, August of 2024, his most recent appeal was just denied. So it seems for now he will continue to serve the time. But this, there's a stranger profile here, you guys, because it's portrayed as a crime of passion. No premeditation other than post fact, right? Trying to cover up the crime. Not long after Andre McDonald was convicted, his own father found himself in court accused of murdering both his first and his second wives.
What the heck?
Yeah.
That's a twist. I mean, but it's also, Ben, to your point, especially here in the doc, perhaps it is an indication of that continuum of generational trauma and violence that we talk about a lot on the show.
I'm wondering, we know the father, Everton McDonald, known as Beachy Stout to his friends, and his co-defendant Oscar Barnes were later found guilty in Jamaica's Supreme Court for at least the death of Tanya McDonald. You can find a piece on this in the Jamaica Observer and a couple of other local papers. Apparently, he had tried to pay a guy named Demvelin Bubla Minote $3 million to kill his wife, or Beachy Stout had, and he gave him exact instructions. He said, stab her and then burn her body. This guy couldn't do it, so he subcontracted the hit to a guy named Oscar Barnes. And both of those guys got convicted. I believe they are in jail for life.
Where is this cat getting $3 million?
That's another question, right?
I'm sorry. I do feel like we're ending with a few open questions.
Yes.
Which is fine.
And folks, I love the point you made, Noel, about bringing up more questions. There are things we can't answer, but we can answer one question right now. Why are we bringing up this case long after it's been solved, long after this innocent child has been saved? Well, it's primarily because we see a disturbing trend in violence against women, you know, and in these cycles of abuse. Did the son learn from the father and feel physical violence was appropriate? How do we in the audience raise children in community to avoid such horrific acts? And, you know, right now, the United States is struggling to preserve the rights of women over the next 4 years and beyond. This is something to think about.
Well, it's a big deal in Andreen's life, too, because according to her coworkers, according to some of her good friends, she was in an abusive relationship, and she was she would come in with scratches on her face that her friends would take note of and ask her about. And she would, you know, she would even say to them, oh, it's Andre, you know, it's Andre. But I don't know, like, how, when there's something like that, how do we effectively have stuff in place so that someone can really be loud about it? Hey, I'm under attack at home.
It's just so difficult, though, because oftentimes there's that Stockholm syndrome of it all, where they don't want to be loud about it, or they feel compelled to defend the abuser. And that's the real complex part of it. And it also involves a lot of psychological abuse and coercion, and just having people, breaking people down to make them feel as though they need you, you know?
Normalization and erosion of boundaries. Consent to one thing and then try to normalize your horrific behavior toward others. I agree with these points. Domestic violence cannot simply be legislated away. It's a multi-generational pattern. It comes from many different sources. There are resources available to help folks. And that's why we're looking at this story today. Please, please, please be safe. Thank you so much for tuning in. We would love to hear your thoughts. We try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You can find us at The Handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook, where we have our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, on YouTube, where we have video content galore for you to enjoy, and on X, FKA Twitter. On Instagram and TikTok, we're a Conspiracy Stuff Show.
We have a phone number, 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. If you've got more to say than can fit in that voicemail, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the entities that read every single piece of correspondence we receive. We always love to hear from you. This is a last but not least way to contact us. We can all see it. We can all respond. We haven't put in rules yet. Please don't make us do so. But do let us know if we can share your message on air, to give us the links, take us to the edge of the rabbit hole. Tell us what's on your mind. And even if it's something that you don't want to share with the larger conspiracy realist crew, we've got your back. We're just happy to hear from you. Join us out here in the dark. Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Does money stress you out? Let Facet flip your financial chaos into clarity.
We feel way more confident and secure in our finances, and with that comes a sense of freedom.
Financial planning from Facet is here to help you improve your life today, tomorrow, and every day after that.
Facet was really the place where we saw all of the tools and the people coming together.
Visit Facet.com, F-A-C-E-T.com, to learn more. This ad is sponsored by Facet. Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor is it investment, legal, or tax advice. These testimonials are from current Facet members who are not compensated. All opinions are their own and not a guarantee of a similar.
Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find time to relax, a little you time. Enter Chumba Casino with no download required. You can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, surprise everyone on your list with the best gifts. Tickets to see their favorite artists live. Choose from thousands of concerts and comedy shows, including Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige, Matt Matthews, Metallica, Thomas Rhett, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Sarah Silverman, and so many more. Share a memory together or give a gift they'll never forget. Find the most exciting gift for every fan at LiveNation.com/gifts. That's LiveNation.com/gifts.
The all-electric Chevy Equinox EV combines everything you need when you're ready to go EV. Starting at $34,995, the 2025 Equinox EV LT gives you an impressive balance of all-electric range, safety features for peace of mind, and effortless technology, including the 17.7-inch diagonal display screen, all at a price you'll love. The Chevy Equinox EV is the fun-to-drive, all-electric SUV that gives you what you need to do exactly what you want. The manufacturer's suggested retail price excludes tax, title, license, dealer fees, and optional equipment. Dealer sets final price. To learn more, visit chevy.com/equinox EV.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.